This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, November 14th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. China, will they or won't they? WASD on its way again, and Rollins calls SNAP full of corruption in an interview. Chinese spokesperson punts on soy commitments. A Commerce Ministry spokesperson refused to confirm that Chinese purchase commitments of U.S. soybeans were a part of a trade deal agreed to last month. During a regular press conference yesterday, a reporter asked He Yandong to confirm the White House insistence that China will buy 12 million tons of soybeans this year and 25 million tons annually after that. He demurred. He directed the reporter to previous information about the arrangement, which he said outlined, quote, the main achievements and consensus reached, including on agricultural trade. Notably, Chinese documentation and official statements have not yet referred to the purchase commitments. China is an important participant in global agriculture trade and will continue to uphold an open and cooperative attitude, he added, according to an unofficial translation. Former USDA economist Fred Gale told AgriPulse, quote, it seems like they're being intentionally vague. But Gale added that hazy commitments are not out of character for Beijing. More alarming than what China says, Gale says, is what buyers have or have not done. At a major annual trade fair in Shanghai last week, China bought more Brazilian soybeans. But no buys of U.S. soybeans have been reported. Chinese embassy in Washington did not respond to an AgriPulse request to clarify the comments. WASD and sales report are due out today after the shutdown. Ag commodity traders are in for a double whammy of data today. USDA putting out its first global outlook in 2 months, along with a backlog of export flash sales after the government shutdown stalled release of the closely watched data. Market watchers expect slight declines in yields for 2025 U.S. corn and soybean harvest versus the September forecast. Traders also will be on alert for any changes in export estimates for domestic corn and soybeans, America's two biggest crops, in the USDA WASD report that is due at noon Eastern. Everyone is working blind right now on what the U.S. has been able to sell, according to Frayne Olson, crops economist at North Dakota State University, in an interview yesterday at an American Bankers Association Ag Conference in St. Louis. Flash sales are typically made public outside standard weekly reports if they meet certain thresholds, such as sales of 100,000 metric tons or more of commodity sold in one day to a single destination, except for soybean oil. Olson expects U.S. corn exports to go up a smidge and soybeans to land a bit lower than the last export estimate of September, which was 1.7 billion bushels. On wheat, Olson said he'll be looking at production and export estimates for Russia, the world's biggest shipper, and two other U.S. rivals, including Argentina and Australia. He said, heading into the Friday oddball report, we have more questions than answers, according to No Bull Ag founder and analyst Susan Stroud. On corn and soybeans, it's clear the market has no idea where yields will land, only that they should be lower, broadly speaking. So according to Reuters, here is some key crop estimates for the day. The trade anticipates corn production at 16.6 billion bushels. In September, that was 16.8. Corn yield estimated by the trade on average at 184. In September, it was 186.7. For soybean production, 4.3 billion bushels is what the trade expects to see. And in September, that number was 4.3. Soybean yield at 53.1 bushels an acre by the trade, the USDA, September, 53.5. Corn ending stocks were estimated in September at 2.1 billion bushels, and the trade expects it to stay the same. Ending stocks of soybeans in September were 300 million bushels, and the trade expects to see 304 today. Wheat ending stocks estimated by the trade at $867 billion. The USDA said $844 million in September. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Sell enters race for Arrington seat in Texas. Tom Sell, who co-founded Washington, D.C. lobbying firm Combest Sell & Associates, is joining the race to fill the seat of departing Republican Representative Jody Arrington of Texas. Sell, a former staffer for Representative Larry Combest of Texas, said in a news release that our country is in serious trouble right now with the radical left trying to hijack everything we as Americans have worked so hard to build over the course of nearly 250 years. President Trump working overtime to turn our country around and put America first, but he needs our support. Rollins goes after Democrats and radical left judge in interview. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins blamed Democrats and criticized a radical left judge for ordering USDA to provide full benefits to SNAP recipients before the end of the government shutdown. Those benefits should begin going to recipients in the next few days, Rollins also said in an interview with CNN's Pamela Brown. But she blamed congressional Democrats for the lapse in SNAP benefits because they did not vote to reopen the government. She calls SNAP a broken program that is full of corruption, saying USDA found 186,000 people on SNAP rolls who are deceased based on data submitted by states. Rollins insisted USDA did not have the authority to transfer Section 32 funding, which provides money for child nutrition programs. U.S. District Judge John McConnell Jr., whom Rollins criticized, had ordered the department to use that money. That money is authorized for a different set of facts. If we had used that money, it would have taken food out of the mouths of school children. Plaintiffs in the SNAP case before McConnell argued, and he agreed that there was enough money to cover school meals well into the spring. Take note. USDA is trying to fire a Food and Nutrition Service employee who discussed potential issues with SNAP funding in an October 2nd interview on MSNBC, that according to the Washington Post. According to documentation reviewed by the newspaper, USDA told Ellen May the day after the interview ran that she had discussed USDA programs and funding, quote, without prior approval, and that she would be let go 30 days after the shutdown ends. May spoke in the interview as a union representative. She is president of the National Treasury Employees Union, Chapter 255. In a statement, NTEU National President Doreen Greenwald said union leaders are well within their First Amendment rights on non-work time to share their views about how employees represented by NTEU are dealing with the shutdown, which disrupts government services and stops their paychecks. She continued, retaliating against them for speaking up is a contract violation and an outrageous attack on federal employees and their union rights. NTEU will continue to stand with all our union leaders as they exercise their rights and inform the public on the importance of their work and the work of their colleagues. In a statement, a USDA spokesperson said, quote, during a lapse in appropriations, furloughed USDA employees are not authorized to perform any official duties, including speaking on behalf of the department. The USDA does not comment on individual personnel matters. Arizona officials ask Interior to include Upper Colorado River states and cuts under a new framework. Arizona's governor and top state legislative leaders want the Interior Department to include states from the upper Colorado River Basin in future water cutbacks as the agency works to craft post-2026 guidelines for managing the river. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs, Arizona State Senate President Warren Peterson, and Arizona House Speaker Steve Montagaro have all written to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum asking that he use his authorities, quote, to ensure that whatever alternative is considered by the department include conservation requirements for the upper basin. The upper basin states are Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, and Utah. Take note. All seven Colorado River states have missed their deadline for coming up with a new proposal. The lower basin states, Arizona, California, and Nevada, have argued that the four upper basin states need to agree to further cuts. The upper basin states disagree, saying they already use a limited amount of water and less than what they are obligated under the Colorado River Compact. Here's today's final word. Distributing $2,000 tariff checks to Americans, quote, will require legislation. We're actively studying the matter and getting the numbers straight so the president has all the choices he needs to decide what to do. That's the word of National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, November 14th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller at Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.